Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello friends, we've been talking this week about seizing God-given opportunities. Today I want to talk to you about how opportunity is often accompanied by adversity. Don't let adversity convince you a God-given opportunity is not God's will. Many people don't recognize God-given opportunities in their lives if any adversity is involved. Instead, they run from it. The Apostle Paul, however, did the opposite. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, we read this, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." The J.B. Phillips translation translates verse 9, "For I have been given a great opportunity of doing useful work, and there are many against me." Another translation reads this way, "For a door that offers wide and effective service stands open before me, and there are many opponents." Paul was in the city of Ephesus, a city that was filled with idol worshipers. And yet, at the same time, there were people in that city that were hungry for the truth and to know the one true God. So Paul wrote in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 16, "I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." He had planned to stay longer, even though the next verse tells us that he had encountered many adversaries. Though he had a wide open door, "For a great door," Paul wrote, "and an effective door is open to me." A wide door was open for him to do the work of God, to share about the Lord, to lead people to Christ. And yet at the same time, Paul acknowledged there were many adversaries. He was facing adversity. The word adversity means trouble. It means difficulty or reverses. Have you ever faced trouble, difficulty, or reverses when you began to do something that you felt was very definitely the leading of God, the will of God for your life? Oftentimes Christians, if they begin to embark on a certain direction or toward a certain endeavor that they feel is led of the Lord, if they encounter difficulty, trouble, reverses, it doesn't seem to be going smoothly, they hit adversity, they come to the conclusion that it must not be God's will or that they heard God wrong. Paul, on the other hand, didn't see it that way at all. He knew it was God's will for him to be in the city of Ephesus, to share the love of God in that place, though it was filled with worshipers of the goddess Diana. In fact, he encountered an entire union of silversmiths led by a man named Demetrius who were plotting to run the man out of town because he was bad for business. People were being converted and they didn't need to buy the altars, these idol altars that Demetrius and his silversmiths were selling for the goddess Diana. So they plotted to put an end to Paul's preaching by getting him out of town or worse. Paul took that adversity in stride. He did not let adversity tell him what God's will was. This is a mistake that is commonly observed in the body of Christ. I would dare say that if you are being led away from a certain direction that you were previously convinced was of God, just because you encountered adversity, you are allowing yourself to be led by the devil rather than being led by the Spirit of God, because Satan is the author of trouble. He is always plotting to steal, to kill, and to destroy people in the body of Christ. If you allow yourself to be directed by what the enemy is doing in your life and assuming it must not be God's will because things aren't going well, this will basically result in Satan being successful in ambushing a God-given opportunity in your life. One of the most outstanding tragedies of missed opportunity because adversity arose occurred back in the 1200s. In fact, in 1269, Kublai Khan, the leader of the Mongolian people and the Chinese at that time, sent a request from his headquarters in Peking to Rome for 100 wise men of the Christian religion. He, at that time, had two Italian men, in fact, they were related to Marco Polo, on his court of advisors. Those two men had told Kublai Khan about Christianity. And so he wrote this letter to Rome asking for 100 wise men of the Christian religion. And he went on to say in his letter, "And so I shall be baptized. And when I shall be baptized, all my barons and my great men will be baptized, and their subjects will be baptized. So there will be more Christians here than there are in your parts." The Mongols at that time were wavering about a choice of religion. And it might have been, as Kublai Khan forecasts, the greatest mass religious movement the world has ever seen. In fact, the history of all Asia would have been changed. But what actually happened in that situation? Pope Gregory X answered this letter by sending two Dominican friars. They got as far as Armenia, and they could no longer endure the hardship and returned home. And so passed the greatest missionary opportunity in the history of the church, all because when adversity came, it turned them back from their God-given opportunity. Don't let adversity put you in a situation where you turn your back on God-given opportunity. And as I said before, many people in the body of Christ have mistakenly assumed when they hit troubled waters, difficulty, things didn't go smoothly when they felt they were following God's will, they somehow assumed that it was not God's will to continue. I believe it's an actual doctrine of demons, meaning that the demonic realm or Satan's realm has sown into our thinking that every circumstance that comes along in life must be passively accepted as God's will. Nowhere in Scripture are we commanded to automatically accept every circumstance in our lives or in the lives of others or even in world events as simply being God's will. This must be God's sovereign will. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that. We are, however, told to fight the good fight of faith, which means there's a struggling, there's a wrestling that goes on. We're told to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're told in the book of James to resist the devil and he will flee. None of those scriptures implies a passive sitting back and accepting things that come into your life as, oh, well, it must be God's will. To do that will be to accept what Satan wants to do in your life. Many people will abandon God-given opportunities when adversity arises, assuming it must not be God's will to continue in this direction. I firmly believe that is a satanically inspired deception to keep people from doing God's will, though it may require pushing through by the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, satanic or demonic resistance that you may encounter. Had William Carey, the father of modern missions, embraced that type of an attitude or theology, he would have never gone to India. He attempted in the 1700s multiple times to leave from England to go to India and was turned back on several occasions. It took time, but he eventually made it to India. And while he was there, he had many opportunities to turn back again and assume it must not be God's will. He had older people in the faith tell him it wasn't something God would have anyone do, try to reach the heathen in this foreign land. One preacher who had a doctorate in theology said to him at a meeting where William Carey was imploring the other ministers to have a heart for the heathen and to see people in heathen nations converted, this man said to him, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine." With those kinds of discouraging words, William Carey could have turned back. He could have never gone to India. But the results of his persistence in pursuing a God-given opportunity resulted in phenomenal impact in the nation of India by the time William Carey died at age 73. By that point, he had seen the scriptures translated and printed into 40 Indian languages. He had been a college professor and founded a college in India. He had seen India open its doors to missionaries, and he had seen a law passed in that land that prohibited the burning of widows on the funeral pyres of their dead husbands, something that had gone on for centuries. William Carey could have easily passed up a God-given opportunity because of the adversity he faced, but he refused. And because he refused to be discouraged by adversity, he had an eternal impact on the nation of India and on missions in general. Don't let adversity turn you back from doing the will of God, from seizing God-given opportunities. God wants you to push through by his grace and his strength and in the power of the Spirit and see God-given opportunities become eternal blessings for many people's souls. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.